Now it's recording.
Okay. All right.
Let's take this from the top.
Okay, no problem.
All right. Sorry about that.
No problem. That's quite all right. Those things happen.
We get to relive memory lane again.
Memories.
Yes. Well, my name is Jessica Dinkins, and I'll be conducting round two of this oral history this morning.
No problem.
I guess you just state your name and birthday.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Pauline Poochie Mapp Foreman. December 16, 1949. And what was the other thing I was supposed to
say? The years that you went to the school.
The years of young minds, I tell you. September 1957 to June 1963. Or my years in attending the Cape Charles Elementary.
Wonderful.
School. Over the hump.
Now, what are some of your favorite memories from the school that you can recall?
My most favorite memory is of what we call May Day, which was usually around May. I loved the activity, and I also I loved it because it was just before school was going to close in so many weeks, and the dressing up and wrapping the maypole and learning the songs. And I liked it so much that I do remember we created a game from it called The Whip. And that was just a string of kids running real fast across a field. And the ones on the end had the most fun because they were the tip of the tail.
How were they, you mentioned earlier they were like flying. Was it they were the...
Well, see, it's like a long line, like you know, you see those dragon tails in, in those parades. So it's just a person, like the first person is pulling the third person pulling the fourth person. And then if the sixth person is on the end, they're whipping about. So that's why it was called a whip. And I love that. And most kids always wanted to be on the end.
Of course,
the last
of course.
Two or three, because, they get to fly
it's
all over
fun,
the place.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And there again, I love it, the May Day, the wrapping the pole.
How would you, because I've never actually seen
the pole?
A May Day pole be wrapped. How was it supposed to be wrapped?
The principal, Mr. Hare, and it could have been some of the teachers too, had shown us how to do that. I remember it because we did it at least, I think I went to that school 7 years. So we did it at least five of the, if not all 7 of the years. But we practiced, and he would show you how to have to weave around each other to make the pole wrap. So, if it was 3 of us, he would say, okay, on the outside, go between the 2, and on the inside, go around the number 1. And then you would look up and you would see that it was wrapped, that pole was wrapped. It was fabulous. I loved it.
Oh, that is cool.
I hope somebody has pictures of that. I never even thought of that. I hope somebody has pictures of that. That would have been fantastic in this day and age with the iPhones and whatnot, and the smartphones.
Snap picture.
Yes.
So different.
Whenever I think of elementary school, that's the first thing I think of is the May Day activities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, simple but really, really nice. Yeah. And imagine the girls would have on a different color skirts and the guys would have on different color shirts. And on those times when we were dressed in the multicolors, the pole strips would be all white. But if we had to wear all white, then the pole strips were multicolored.
Oh, that's cool.
I have a ball. I hope somebody has pictures of that.
We'll have to try to find that.
Yeah,
that
absolutely. I loved it.
Oh, man.
And my favorite teachers, Mr. Nottingham, Miss Alice Ames, though she was mean. And Mr. Hare. Those were the days.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And going to school, like I said, we had to go up these steps that were over railroad tracks. The railroad tracks are still there, but steps are gone. And that was fun. That's all we knew. Really thought we were going up a mountain going to school. And
adventure every day.
Yes, exactly. No doubt. And some of the other students that lived close to the school, I don't know what happened to them, but I remember Anna Dozier and Montague. I don't know. I know Montague was relatives of some Spadies, and Anna Dozier, I don't know who her.
What are Spadies?
The Spadies, Wait a minute now. Mr. Raymond Spady, he had a gas station on the corner there,
okay,
where we had to walk up the steps. That was his gas station on that corner. And his wife, I think her name was, Dolores or Dorothy. And they had two girls, and the two girls have since moved away, and they have different names now, but it was Madeline and Pauline.
Okay, so it's a well-known family.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, so, business, because he was a business, one of the few black businessmen, at that time. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they both lived there until they passed. I think the Mr. Spady passed first, and then Mrs. Spady passed within the last, I would say, less than 5 years.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. With the education standards, because you went to, was it Northampton High afterwards?
No, I went to before it was integrated. It was Northampton County.
Oh, Northampton County. Matchapongo. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Was there anything you could remember how the separate but equal doctrine, how do you think that affected African-American education as opposed to the white education in Cape Charles? Could you, was there a noticeable difference to the students?
You know, at that age, me, myself, personally, I didn't pay attention at all. I was aware of segregation, very much so, mainly for activities like going down the beach or going to the movies. The beach was strictly divided. And going to the movies, I think in the later years we went down what they called downtown movies. But we had our own movie on what's now Jefferson Avenue. Yeah, we had our own movie, and there was a place next to the movie called Carver Spot. I forget what the movie was called. I know some people, they know, they would know. But, and where I lived, which was on Peach Street, I used to hear older people call that Jersey. I don't know where it came from, but they because my grandmother lived in another part of town, and when I would go to her house, she would say, "Where's your dad? Or what's your mom doing?" And I say, "Oh, they're home." And she says, "Oh, is so and so up in Jersey?" And I would say, "Wait, huh?
Jersey."
I don't know. They might be, but that was some of the vision, because the town where we lived, maybe it was maybe four blocks, but it was just a segment there. So as far as education, I lived where the Cape Charles Elementary School is. That was in my backyard.
Okay.
But I didn't go there, so that was just a building to me. It wasn't there.
Right.
Especially during I don't even remember if it was there during when I was going to elementary school. I'm not for sure, but it must have been when I was going to Cape Charles Elementary. But I know once I had graduated Cape Charles Elementary, my sister went to that school for her elementary school and high school. She went to that building. So it was so, I don't want to say intrinsic, but it was so bold that it was, as a child, I just never noticed it. At that point, about the education part, because as a kid, you didn't like school, so I didn't care where
school,
I went
school,
or didn't go.
I
just didn't want to go. But I think for the quality of the education, to me, looking back, it was not separate but equal. I think it was separate to me. Now this is just Poochie speaking. To me, it was separate but better on the black side. So that's just my view. That's just the way I looked at it. Because my parents, they weren't very strict. I don't know if that's good or bad, but they didn't seem to be very strict to me. And I could get around and look and see things. And I never saw anything too untoward, you know, to black folks. So I would say I was just so enamored with the high school, I didn't know there was anywhere else to go. So I was all right. For me, I'm just speaking for me now. You speak for all the blacks.
So you said it was better.
Better to, on the black side, for me, to me, that's what I'm saying. To me, because I guess you could say that's all I knew. You know, I didn't know what to compare it to, mm-hmm. you know. So looking back, I'm saying, I think I'd rather stay where I was, or I'd rather, you know, went to that school and did these things, because I didn't have anything to compare it to, you see. So, and that's what I meant about that.
Kind of like a blind, you're not aware of the difference, so it's...
Right. It's
you were happy.
It's bleared, yeah. Blurred lines.
Yeah.
Ooh, little more. Yeah. Sure.
Very good.
Thank you.
What was the, how did the cultural environment of Cape Charles mm-hmm. and the African American community, what roles did that play in the school? Is there a lot of community support? Was it tight knit outside of the school? How did those interact, the educational and cultural environments?
I would think, it was strictly black and white. It was strictly black and white because I don't know what went on in the white schools. I don't have a clue. But I know that in the black schools, the teachers and whatnot were very much supported by the parents, by the children's parents. It was that era that she might be familiar with. You wouldn't have a clue. But it was that era where they said, where it came from, it takes a village to raise the child, because it was a small community. And if an adult, they didn't have to have children, or they could be a migrant worker or anything. If they came through and they saw a kid doing something, mashing somebody's garden or throwing rocks at somebody's car, they would go and get them, snatch them. Well, who's your mom? If they didn't know them, who's your mother, who's your people, take them right to them and tell them what they were doing. They get a whipping. And then, so that's kind of support they had. The teachers probably never had to go to the parents about the children, because we could get the paddles, you see, in class. So it was, when all this was happening in my world, I didn't know anything about what was going on in the white world. I didn't have a clue mm-hmm. what was going on with that. But from my view, being my world was black, I thought the teachers, the schools, and everybody, they had full support. Neighbors had full support.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Absolutely.
Was there religious impact on the school and the community? Was religion a big part of...
Yeah, I think so, because you could do the you could pray in school, you know, and because it was a small community, it wasn't not a lot to do, so we had the vacation Bible school, and the kids looked forward to that, because the vacation Bible school, you did the painting and different activities that you didn't do at school. And the religion was definitely there. That was there. And with most of them that I see today, it's stuck.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Uh-huh.
With the building, what do you think about the building?
My little school. I know. That's a nice little building. And when it became that fish store or something. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't live there, so I didn't know the impact of that. But when I saw it, it was sad, as with any building that you know when you're growing up or when you're younger in life.
Right.
All you know is what it meant to you at that age. But I'm just ecstatic that it has become historical and that it's going to be there. And I would like to make a contribution to that, you know. So however small, every little bit helps.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm glad that it reached a historical status, that's for sure. Absolutely.
It was a beautiful building.
Yeah.
It's very, very beautiful.
Yeah, you could do a lot with it.
Do you remember much about the inside structure? Because I've not been able to go inside for sure.
Oh, let's see now. If I remember correctly, you would go in and it had looks like two rooms on each side. When you walked in, you were facing the auditorium. Mm-hmm. And then there were two classrooms on each side, if I remember correctly. And that the classrooms went by grades.
Right.
So it could be first and second grade, I don't know which side, in one room, third and fourth, fifth and sixth, and sixth and seven. Like two classes per classroom. Or it could have, no, that's about right. And then, like I said, the auditorium, which is not very big. It's probably like a quarter of this building here. But that was our Ted Constance. What can I tell you? Well, that's right.
What kind of things they do in the auditorium for you guys?
Oh, we used to have, I think we had daily assembly, which was every morning. For probably like a half hour, and that was where he made announcements. The principal made announcements. The announcements being what we want to do for recess, if we had any holidays or anything coming up. Did anybody have anything they wanted to say? Did the teachers have any announcements they would want to make? I can't remember if he an outstanding student or something got recognized. I don't remember that. It might have been the case, but I don't remember. And graduation, that was it.
Mm-hmm. With you said he talked about what you guys were going to do at recess. Did you do like certain activities at recess each day, or was it?
Well, mainly that was doing when we were going to have the May Day Festival. If we're going to have practice, he would say, we're going to be outside. We're going to do 30 minutes of practicing for our festival, and then 30 minutes of play time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. The festival for the May Day Festival?
Yeah.
Okay.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm. And practice that weaving.
Yes. Yes, I'm ready to get dressed.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's not blinking. That's all right?
Yep, that's good.
Okay.
That's good. Okay. We got a good
time.
I'm watching
it. Go to
I'm watching it. Don't
okay.
you worry.
Good. Thank you.
What was the impact of the schools closing in 1966? How do you remember? Because that was only a few years after you left.
Yeah, that was only a few years after I left. Oh, boy, do I remember that? Let's see. 66. I was in high school. Yeah, I was just getting ready to come out of high school. I don't know. I don't think I felt too bad either way, because I was just wanting to graduate high school, never thought of college, and just wanted to get away from the area. Because I didn't want to work in the factories and I didn't want to work in the field. So I just wanted to hurry up graduate and go north. I don't even remember 60s. I don't remember that at all, because I graduated from high school in 68. So I know 66, I was like, what, a sophomore or a junior.
Mm-hmm.
So I was paying attention strictly to the current events at the time, other than that school closing. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that was during integration time. That's when my sister, was getting ready to go to Cape Charles School in town. Yeah.
Do you remember any stories of how going through integration affected her when she, because she was quite young going into the elementary school when they integrated?
Yeah, because she's like 8 years younger than me. I don't think she had any problems, not that I know of. I never heard her say anything. And it's amazing, because the group, her generation, it was just a blending, you know, and nobody was paying attention, and the kids just went on with what they were doing.
Right.
You know, and the grown folks were freaking out, but the kids were fine. I didn't hear anything about any incidents or anything in the school at all. It could have, don't mean that there wasn't any, I don't know, but I just never heard of any. And I remember my sister always talking about what they were doing in class. Oh, the teacher has us doing this. Or, and guess what? We're going to be doing that. And she would talk about the classmates. You didn't know who was black and who was white. She was just going right along, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And so I tried to get her to to come with me to the interview, but she said she wasn't feeling well, so I let that go. But if I remember correctly, she didn't have any major problems that I know of. In fact, she's friends with one of her classmates. He's in politics or something there in Cape Charles, so she's friends with him, and a couple of other friends that she's seen when she's gone over to funerals or whatnot, she's mm-hmm. seen them. Mm-hmm. So she, I think she made out okay.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to be a pretty current and repeating thing to hear that for the kids, it was.
Yes.
Yes, it was not an issue. Mm-hmm. It was.
When you, that's right.
Kids
that's right.
don't know color.
That's right. They just went right on. It's amazing. And it would have been good to the adults to just think of that, to right. realize that. Mm-hmm. It was not a problem at all for them.
So you didn't experience that when you were in high school?
I went to the segregated high school. I never went to Northampton.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. So you went through segregation all
straight through, yeah. I think, I don't know when I don't know when they started going. Oh, I think of, I don't know, I have some friends that graduated from the white school or the other school, but they were in my class. So they must have, I don't know when they went, 67, 66, 67? Yeah, around that time. Yeah, I only know one or two that switched. Most of the ones that I went into high school with, I graduated with, but other than one or two.
Mm.
Yeah.
What did you do after high school?
I went to Philadelphia to stay with my brother, who had been there for some years. And he was married and stayed with them, and I looked for a job. And he kept saying, you don't want to go to college, you don't want to go to college. I said, don't keep asking me that. I'm going to get me a job. So I went to I went to a lot of places, and I learned the city really well because I was definitely going to get me a job. I didn't want him to worry me to death about college. And I went to a hospital, Thomas Jefferson Hospital. Nope, yeah, well, I went there eventually, but I went to Bell Telephone and got hired. And I worked a year there, and then I went to Thomas Jefferson University and worked there for maybe 15 years. And I left there and I went to work for the railroad for about 15 years. And then the railroad moved here, and I came home.
Came back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And in less than a year, it'll be 30 with the railroad, and hasta la vista.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Yeah. So I was in Philly for like 30, 31 years. It was an experience. It was good, but it's also good to come home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was it common for some of your peers that they all want to get out and go to?
Yes. In fact, I would say at least 80% of the class went to work, and the other 15% went to college. There was a few of them that went to college, but most of them left the area, headed north to go to work, and that's what they did. Found jobs.
You mentioned earlier that you didn't want to work in the factories or the fields. Were those pretty much
on Eastern Shore? That's all there was. That's all there was. There was a chicken factory, not Purdue and all that, but some older factory. And there was the farming with potatoes, tomatoes, broccoli, or what have you. And at that time, there were what we call migrants, people that came up from Florida and different places, and they had the farmers had camps for them to stay. And so they would, during this time, the migrants were kind of heavy, a lot of them. So the local people said, well, there's no use in me trying to work in the field because Mr. So-and-so has his work gang here, so I might as well go somewhere else and look for a job. And so a lot of people just drifted to the north.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And then they went there and worked in factories, Detroit, and things like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just to rewind a bit, since mm-hmm. we had a little mishap with the recording.
No problem.
Could we talk about some of the different teaching curriculums? Like you were mentioning, you had a great fondness for Mr. Nottingham, mm-hmm. and how he kind of
He was very helpful. Yeah, with things that I didn't like. I noticed the most about him because I just was, the math just was not my thing. But he was very good and he was very good in getting you to see the use of it, the use of the math, and the way he presented it in practical terms. You know, you're not going to have to use the algebra every day or whatever, but let's do this, just learn this for now, and then we'll go from there. You know, do what you can to get through. So that worked for me. That worked for me. And Miss Ames, she was mean, but she was good. She was very good. She was, and we say mean, it's just because we didn't like that discipline with that ruler. And she had been there so long, because a lot of our parents had her. Mm-hmm. So I don't even remember what she taught. I don't even remember what she taught, but I just remember the ruler. That's all. Mm. But she was good. And who does it? Mr. Hare. I think he was a science teacher. I'm not for sure. But and I'm sure Miss Brown was there, Miss Alice Brown. But I know in high school she taught English. That I know. But I don't remember for elementary school. Mm. And there was another teacher in elementary school. I said, Miss Ames, Miss Brandt, not Alice Brandt. I don't know. I don't remember. But when I look at what the other people say, you see, I'll remember the teacher. Then I'll remember for sure. But yeah, whatever Mr. Nottingham could do, he did, and I appreciated that. That helped me a lot, more than I knew at the time. So I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Very nice guy, Mr. Nottingham.
Yes, he is.
Very nice guy. Yes, he is. Did you know his aunt?
I'm sorry?
Did you know his aunt? I knew she was a big in education for the school.
Ooh. I would know the name, but I wouldn't remember it. Because my sister told
you. It was Nottingham, I believe, but she was...
Diane?
No, she was...
Like up in the superintendent's office or something?
Yeah, she was
higher
a leader, educational leader for the Eastern Shore.
I see.
Particularly Northampton County, but...
In later years,
he had a beautiful portrait of her.
Wow.
It wasn't later; it was earlier. I think, or around the time.
'70s or '80s.
No, it was earlier
than that. I wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
Because I'm terrible with that. Yeah. Terrible with memories like that.
At the high school, did you? Because then you would have been. A bit older. I know in elementary school you're saying you didn't really notice the difference. Did a difference in educational standards become apparent when you were in high school, or did it seem kind of the same when you were in elementary school?
I didn't pay attention in high school because our high school wasn't near any other.
Right.
You see?
It was so far.
And even in elementary, like I was saying, because I was so young, that school was closer to the white school than the high school was, but because I was younger, I didn't pay attention to that.
Right.
And then in high school, our school was like that's up in Matchaponga, that's off the highway.
Oh, okay.
So it's so many miles from the other school. The buildings look the same. They look today. They look the very same. But I never paid that any mind. I know our bus used to go past that school, and we were going to our own school. I never paid over there any attention at all.
You got your education, and that's what mattered to you.
Out of Dodge, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And up to Philly.
Yeah, and the thing, too, in school, the teachers, they were good. The high school teachers, they were very good. And, of course, most of them were college graduates. And they never seemed to say anything about, somewhere else it goes like this, and over here it goes like that. They never said that. They just, said what was in the book, and we kept rolling. So... That's why I guess we just never paid attention to the difference. Not especially early on like that.
Yeah.
Did you have white friends in Cape Charles?
No, I didn't. Let me see. I did not. My sister did. No, because when I was younger, we really were separate. We didn't go downtown way or anything. And like by the time I got out of elementary school, went to to high school, I just wanted to stay in my area where I was. And of course, out of high school, I was gone. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. my sister had.
What I think you were, mm-hmm. saying, and the way you described it before, because of the strict segregation mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in all the services and the right. recreational facilities, right. I mean, it was really probably almost impossible.
Yeah, yeah, and you just never thought of it. Right. It was just so deep in your mind. You just never even thought. I never gave that a thought at all.
And what about the town where people lived? Was that segregated?
Yeah, exactly. And that's mainly why I never thought to mingle, because, like I said, we might have four blocks, and it was all in the same area. And the only time we encountered white people we had to go through maybe two blocks of their property to go to downtown. And downtown was so segregated. You certain part stores you could go to, certain ones you couldn't. Oh, that was crazy. And so the main thing I knew about the town, the setup, was during Halloween, because there was only one white lady's house I liked to go to, because she had candy apples. Mm-hmm. So I would just go there and go home. I was fine. The other kids wanted to go over here. No, I said, well, night, I'm going home. I got my candy apples. I'm fine. But no, it's not like that today, because I was going to say today it's probably set up pretty much the same way, but it's not. It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot, because I could name the streets that were all black, and then all the streets that were all white. And it was just that the streets were all going one way, but it's just that at a certain point it was all black over here, and then it was all white over there, but the same streets. Crazy. But yeah, it's truly meshed now. Truly meshed. Yeah. Truly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All intertwined. That's progress.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was like when they integrated the facilities? You're talking about the movie theater that was completely segregated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, now that was, let's see, because I know I remember, yeah, wait now. For one thing, the black movie closed, became a church or something. So then around that time is when we could start going downtown to the movie. I can't remember if I ever went to the movies downtown. I can't remember. I must have, if it opened, if we were allowed to go before 1968, but I can't remember. But I do remember that the black movie, I don't think it burned. I don't think it burned down. If I remember correctly, it closed and became a church. That seems weird. I could be wrong. And then there wasn't too much downtown to be segregated. I mean, to be integrated. There was the hotel where mostly the staff was black. But I don't know if black people ever stayed there. I don't know if they stay there now, if it's still there. And then the movie, and mainly the drugstore. Savage Drugstore. I know we had to always enter on the side, and we could not sit at the counter. I remember that. Now, when it became integrated, I had gone. After I remember correctly, I had completely gone. But I know in later years that, well, I don't know if the drugstore closed or if that Rayfield in Cape Charles on the corner is a derivative of that Savage Drugstore. I don't know. But that drugstore, I remember, was very segregated. The movie was segregated. The hotel.
Not the library.
God, and good, much as I love the library, it must was, because I've never been there. And I love a library. I know where it was. It was around there by, on a, not Nectarine, but somewhere around there on the corner there. I remember, it must have, because I've never been to the library. I've never been there. And I'm almost sure it was. I shouldn't say, though, because I never tried to go. I never tried to go there, so I don't know. Wait a minute. I guess today you call them the DMV, but the police down by the down the front street where the firehouse stuff was. That was all segregated. Because I remember in high school, even when I went to do driver's ed, we had to go on the side, and the questions the guy was asking, there was not legal questions. So I remember that in very well. And that had to be, that might have been, I graduated in 68, that might have been like 64, 65, because we were with our driver's education teacher. And she even said, are you supposed to ask those questions? Those types of questions, I remember that. So, Ms. Parham, I don't know when it got integrated. I wasn't around, I think because I had left. But it must, I know it was segregated when I was there, that I know. I'm concerned about that library. I gotta look that up. But I know I never went to the library. I never went to that library. So I just assumed it was segregated, right. Apparently. Yeah. And I probably was right for that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will tell you, for the record, you were right.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I figured as much. Yeah.
Black people were not allowed in the library until around desegregation. I don't know exactly when. Mm-hmm. I'm on the library board, and we've looked into the history, and it's...
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was told by another former an alumni of the school that... Mm-hmm. White women would occasionally borrow books to
give to them, to let them use. Yeah.
To let them use.
Mm-hmm. And bring back.
Mm-hmm. But
no. They couldn't go in, couldn't get a card or anything. No. Okay. Okay. I just remember the little building. I remember that little building.
The little church.
Yes, building. Yes, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Thank God for the future. For sure. Yeah. Very interesting. This is a very good project. I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you know it's good for the academic side and it's good for the historical side. I love it. I love it. Yes.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you have any more questions on that?
No, I think this has been great.
Yeah, thank you.
I've loved hearing stories about Cape Charles well as the school.
Sure.
You know, the era. There, mm-hmm. And you know, the more I learn, the mm-hmm. more I feel plugged mm-hmm. in. And
It's really good to learn. Sure, yeah. It's good to know these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So. It's all part of history.
It'd be wonderful once we're able to put them out there for people to access.
Absolutely. I know I have a cousin in New York. She would die to be on this. Her name is Pauline Matthews Perry. We call her Bunny. She would give anything to be on this, but she's very ill. She's very ill. She's been in New York for years. Right. But I keep her posted. I have to tell her about it. But when it comes out and all, I'll make sure she gets
absolutely.
It.
Well, you know, I don't know when the actual, I'm going to be able to write them, because I have to write the pamphlet and produce it. But I can send you a copy of the DVD, mm-hmm. and you can lend it to her. You can send it to her. She would probably love to hear you talk about all
cry the whole time. Mm-hmm. Cry the whole time. She loves anything with Cape Charles. Cry. Mm-hmm. She had brain cancer, and she had surgery years ago. She had surgery. She's all right now. But is this on?
It is on.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn this off too.